Hey, how y'all doing? My name is Jeff Pinto. I'm a nurse, BSN. I work with the Triumph program. I've worked in rehab for about 6 years. I just recently got into telemedicine a year ago, and now I'm over at the University Hospital in Arkansas, University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences, where I work in the telemedicine department, which is called the Center for Distance Health. This is a new program, the Triumph program. It focuses on patients that have had spinal cord injuries and brain injuries. Nothing to disclose here. So the mission for the Triumph program that I work with is we target patients with limitations in mobility, sensation, and other function abilities by providing call center access for on-the-spot triage and consultation to enhance quality of life and increase available resources among patients, families, and rural providers, and to stimulate healthcare system cost savings through efficient, around-the-clock, and evidence-based mode of care delivery. So in our area, in Arkansas, this is the kind of scenery you see. It's real rural. There's a lot of rural areas. We do have some major metropolitan areas, but a lot of rural. And so it makes it easy, not extremely easy, but these are areas where telemedicine really benefits, being able to reach these people in these areas of the state, because a lot of times they won't have specialists in the area, or they're very limited to the medical knowledge and information they have. So especially when we're talking about people who have spinal cord injuries and brain injuries, most of the time they're able to get some pretty good quality care at some of the major facilities, whether it's in Arkansas or the surrounding states, depending on where their injury took place. But once they leave those major medical facilities, whether they've had really great education, whether they got rehab or not, they still come back, and they may come back from their rural areas. And a lot of times these people can feel like they're alone on an island, and they don't know where to go, where to turn to. Just some quick facts. Nationwide, there's around 12,000 new survivors of spinal cord injury. In our state, we have about 2,400 people, most of them living outside of those big metropolitan areas. There's even more that's just spinal cord injury. For traumatic brain injury, these are some numbers on that. About 1.7 million traumatic brain injuries throughout the nation per year. And if you're not familiar with brain injuries, I mean, there's a wide spectrum of what a brain injury is. It can be a mild concussion, which, you know, that happens a lot in football. They take a couple of treatments, they're out for a few weeks, and they go back to play. It's no big deal, no life-changing effects. And then you have those people who have, you know, severe traumatic brain injuries who have to manage symptoms, you know, throughout their lives, and they have to deal with this. And so in Arkansas, we have about 8,000 people that have suffered with a traumatic brain injury. A lot of these numbers come from the Department of Health. The previous numbers for the spinal cord injury survivors came from our spinal cord injury commission that we have in Arkansas. We've had that for a little over 30 years. They do a really good job connecting individuals with spinal cord injuries and their families with resources around the state when it comes to like wheelchairs and job access and things like that. Unfortunately, we don't have the same setup for traumatic brain injury, but they are working on that and gradually trying to grow a commission like that because of the great need in our state for that. So the Triumph program, like I said, it's a new program. We're still raising a lot of awareness about what we're doing just statewide, but there's four areas that we try to focus on: the call center, emergency room consults, telemedicine consults and clinics, and education. So we'll start with the education portion. So what we do with education, we develop provider education primarily. We've also started developing some patient education as well. The provider education is done by the doctors and the residents that are part of our program. We have a physical medicine and rehab department at the University Hospital, and they work closely with this program. They're involved in this program, this Triumph program. The physiatrists in the physical medicine rehab program are specialists, and there's one of them that's a spinal cord injury specialist, and the other one is a traumatic brain injury specialist. So they help give very focused attention to the guidelines, the treatment guides for development, along with the residents who are working with them. And these guidelines are helpful for the healthcare providers throughout the state. So especially these people who aren't familiar with a brain injury or managing the symptoms of a brain injury or a spinal cord injury patient. This gives them something they can turn to when they have a patient that comes back into the community that goes back to see their general practitioner, and that practitioner is a little concerned about what kind of help they can provide. We've developed some guidelines. We're still in the process of developing more, but some of the main areas of concern that happen or some of the general things that happen to these different populations can be accessed through this website right here. Actually, you could go there and see some of the ones that have been developed. And you know, I appreciate especially the brain injury guidelines. Those are a little more difficult to find. These are some that we've had created so far, because with spinal cord injury, the VA has done a great job with finding the major concerns, the most common things that happen with spinal cord injury. With brain injury, though, there's not booklets and guidelines that are as concise yet out there. And so the residents had a really hard time finding the evidence-based, up-to-date current information all to put together for a brain injury. Here are some of the spinal cord injury guidelines that have been developed as well. And so, like I said, these are some of the main areas that usually are focused on when managing spinal cord injuries after acute care, after they go through some rehab. And so once you work around them enough, you kind of understand what to do. But unfortunately, if you're not around them, you don't know how to treat these minor things. And a lot of times, if that's the case, the providers will send them to major cities. It could be 3 hours away, hundreds of miles away, and that's a lot to do for these patient populations. And the good thing is by educating the providers, educating the healthcare providers in the communities, they can build rapport with the patients and the families that are there in the communities, and they can feel better about being, the patients and families can feel better about being there in that community, knowing that they have a resource. This is another way that we try to transfer that education out. The residents and the attendings that develop the educational guidelines will present the guidelines whenever they're done. Whenever they finish one, they'll present with these CAP talks. They do it once a month. And so each one of those that in that list that we just saw are available to be seen. The recorded versions are available to be seen on this website here. And it's basically just the resident going through the work and answering any questions during the live session about what they've come up with and the practices of it. And this is more information about those CAP talks. And then here's the new ones that will be coming up this coming year. These are some of the areas of concern that they're going to go over. So just, again, they're guidelines, they're information on just things that we see a lot in this patient population. Heterotrophic ossification, we see that a lot in spinal cord injuries. Dizziness, there's a lot of brain injury patients who have that residual. The next area of the Triumph program that we try to build value in is telemedicine consults and clinics. So this has been really great for patients throughout the state who need to do follow-ups with the specialists. So a lot of these specialists have already seen these patients in rehab, so they've already made that face-to-face connection, which is pretty much required in our state as one of the telehealth requirements, is to get that initial face-to-face. So once they leave the rehab setting, which our rehab is in Little Rock, so it's kind of in the center of the state, and then once they leave and go back to their home, they can go to one of the regional centers, the UAMS regional centers around the state, and connect with the specialist, which usually it's a lot quicker for them to get to those regional centers. They're usually 30 to 40 minutes around any place someone lives throughout the state, instead of driving 3 hours to come to a 15-minute clinic visit. So this just allows quicker travel time, saves on costs. A lot of the patients can't really travel very easily, if they can at all, and if they're taking a long car ride or vehicle ride, then there's issues that are of concern, like bowel and bladder and pressure sores, because unfortunately, you know, especially a spinal cord injury, they can't shift their weight a lot. So if they're in one position for a long period of time, it's easy for them to get pressure sores. So this, you know, resolves that issue. It keeps them from having to travel so much and have those risks to worry about. These are the regional clinics that I was talking about. So you can pretty much see they're widely spread throughout the state. So pretty much anywhere, anyway, anybody lives, they can get to one of those clinics and make that connection. And it's really been beneficial for a lot of the people in our state to be able to just go 30 minutes instead of 3 hours down to Little Rock to have these clinic times, especially when it's, you know, they're doing fine. They may have some medication changes that need to be made, just maybe some questions, and that's all. So really, really great for them. The next thing is emergency consults. So through the call center, patients that come into the emergency room, the providers in the emergency room can contact the providers or the specialists, the clinicians through the call center, and get consults or get information for patients in those rural emergency rooms. So let's see. So you see the little T's on the screen there. That shows through a grant that was given to the university, we were able to, several years ago, they were able to distribute lots of audiovisual equipment throughout the state in different rural emergency rooms. So these emergency rooms that are equipped with audiovisual equipment, we could potentially use for patients who go into the emergency room in those rural areas. Instead of, you know, having someone that's way over in Clay County coming all the way down to Little Rock to see the specialists, they could be there in that county, and the specialist could essentially video conference in and see the patient, or at least talk with the medical providers there in that area to try and remedy what's going on with the patient, if that's possible, and allow the patient to go home or at least stay in that area and not take a long ride to some other facility. And this, again, just develops that rapport with the community. It helps the medical teams feel more confident about what they're doing and their treatment processes for these patients and this patient population. And then the call center is the major thing. This is the last part of the focus of the TRIOMPH program. And so this allows easy access for patients throughout the state to be able to reach out, and if they have questions, if they have concerns, if there's something going on, it also allows those emergency departments, again, to call in and talk directly to the specialists in brain injury and spinal cord. Usually how it works is the patient or the family member or the healthcare provider will call. They'll talk with a nurse that's in the call center, and these nurses are there every day of the week, every hour of the day, so they're there to get the call. If it's a question or concern that's above that level of the nurse's scope of practice, it will be triaged to one of the doctors, one of the physiatrists that are involved with the program. And these are pictures of doctors in the program. So it'll either go to one of them or one of the residents get the call first, especially if it's middle of the night, you know, 1 a.m. The resident will get the call and then determine if they need to call the attending or not. And like I say, these physicians work day in and day out with spinal cord and brain injury patients in the rehab setting, so they give very focused information on what's going on and what needs to happen. And the point of this is to try and keep patients from actually, you know, going to the ER all the time, because a lot of times you have patients that either they'll go repeatedly to the ER for minor things, or they'll stay at home and wait until the minor thing becomes a major issue. And by having a call center, but having easy access to information, they can, you know, potentially either do what needs to be done at home and not go to the emergency room, or go to the emergency room when a minor thing needs to be fixed. An example of this is a couple weeks ago, there was someone that called the call center, and they were trying to take their catheter out, and so they have a suprapubic catheter, which that means it goes, you know, around the belly button, right below the belly button in the suprapubic area. And they decided they were tired of it, and they tried to cut it. Well, there's a bulb there that keeps that in, so you can't just pull it out. And so they called this call center. The doctor got on the line and told them that they just need to tape it down, cover it up, and then go to the clinic in the morning. So it wasn't necessarily an emergency situation. It wasn't something that needed to go to the emergency room. So it kept that person from, you know, incurring a large emergency cost and potentially maybe even a transit. They may have had to drive a long ways because the rural emergency room might have, you know, not known what to do either in that moment. So anyway, they were able to do that overnight, rest, and then go to the clinic in the morning to get it seen about. So it's that kind of stuff that this call center is providing, that kind of service for these patients and families. And as well, as I said before, with the ER, healthcare providers too, when they, you know, have patients that come back to their hometowns and they've had these injuries and they're not sure, you know, how to manage the day-to-day or even the concerns, they can call and talk directly to the physicians through the call center and get information as well as the guidelines that are out there on how to provide care and treatment for the patients. Any questions? Okay, you're first, so I'll let you go. There you go. The workflow in the ED?
Yeah, or even
okay. So that's a good question because I'm still struggling with how to, you know, get the information out. I work with the Arkansas Spinal Cord Commission as well, and they have case managers that see a lot of these patients. So with the Spinal Cord Commission, so that's an easy way for me to try and get information out throughout the state with their help. Going to different conferences and things like that, whether it's a brain injury conference or a spinal cord injury conference, and trying to get information out like that. Mailers, different ways we've tried to try and just get information out. Going to the clinics, the physician clinics and hospitals, and letting them know about the service that's there. You know, this, like I said before, this is still new. It's only 1 year old, so. But we've tried to just reach out to as many people as we could and try to get them to reach out to their areas of interest. And as far as the ER workflow, we haven't seen a whole lot of people use it in the ERs yet. And I think that's just the hesitancy of the ER workers when they see one of these patients come in. They think this is a higher level of treatment that's needed. We don't need to mess with this person, so we want to send them. And that's one area that we have to work with to try and build their confidence that you can do this. If you just call and just make sure that you can't do this. You know, if it's something that's major that needs to be triaged to a larger facility, then we'll help you do that. And if not, then we'll help you through, you know, what's going on, what needs to be managed right there locally. But we haven't had a lot of those calls yet with the ER. We have to build their confidence up that, you know, this is something they can use and they will be able to provide good care. Yes, ma'am.
So I wondered if you could offer some information around funding for this model, which is a great model, and how much about sustainability.
So the funding comes from two sources right now. Go back to that first slide. There's a grant through the Arkansas Trauma Rehab Program, and they provide a lot of the funding. They did a lot of the funding when we first started. That's where it is. So last year, most of our funding came through them to develop, you know, the parts and pieces of the initial program. And then this year, through the Spinal Cord Foundation, we've gotten some funding to develop more of the education through a grant through them. So a lot of the funding right now is just grant-based. That's why a lot of this stuff is... you know, the call center is free for patients to use and providers to use. The telemedicine consult, I mean the telemedicine follow-up clinic, that's sent through and processed as a regular specialty payments or specialist payments. So when they bill as if they were in a specialty clinic. But everything else is free for the patient to use, for the healthcare provider to use. Sustainability, that's a good question. That's something I thought about too, as far as making sure this stays together intact. That's something I'm working on right now to try and figure out.
So are you saying that Arkansas pays Medicare or Medicaid for telemedicine?
Um,
it sounded like you said it.
I think some of the Medicares are paid for. Most of the time they are, yes. And some of the private payers also pay for this as well. Right.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Like with translators, things like that. So one of the things that I recently did was that little flyer that you saw come up on the screen, that was translated into Spanish for the Spanish speaking population. And there's a couple other things that we've translated in Spanish because we have a high level of Spanish population. That is something that we'll have to work on in the future, is getting more, you know, multilingual versions of our information. We recently developed some patient education. I don't think I talked about it in there at all, but so there's modules that are really easy, user-friendly, patient-friendly, bring this information to like a real basic level so they can learn about their disease process and what's going on, what to expect. And so that gives those people who, you know, may have some difficulties in reading a chance to at least learn more about their disease process.
So one other question?
Yes, ma'am. People can call the call center and get those scheduled. There's a scheduler though that I work with, and so we, you know, we take those calls from the call center to schedule, or she'll take those calls from the call center to schedule. They'll transfer it over, or we'll get direct, you know, from the physicians that are seeing them in the rehab area. They'll send an email to me, and I'll send it to my scheduler. So it kind of goes both ways right now. There's not like a consistent way that we schedule everyone in. But a lot of them come from the physicians that are seeing the patients in the rehab setting and want to follow up later on. The clinic, the telemedicine clinics, they're just outpatient hours. You right now, but because you know, the physicians also see inpatient clinic patients and then have their own walk-in clinics as well. So the brain injury. A physician will have a clinic once a month, and it's usually, you know, half a day. We'll see 4 to 5 patients, and then as well the spinal cord injury physician will see about 4 to 5 patients once a month. Okay, all right.